Curious about the buzz surrounding CBD? For starters, CBD is not THC. CBD will not get you high and has no mind-altering effects. This makes CBD perfect for use during the day. What does CBD do? People are trying CBD for pain management, sleep management, anxiety, and other common issues. There are so many products out there, it could make your head spin. At Catalyst CBD, they know how confusing CBD can be and have the answers to any questions you have about different uses and applications of CBD. It really is about educating yourself. The experts at Catalyst can talk with you about the facts and the myths. They can clear up the buzz of CBD and make it crystal clear why people are trying CBD and coming back for more. Come visit the store on Victor, just north of East Cypress, and find the widest variety of CBD in the North State. Come in and find out if CBD is for you and receive a 15% discount on your entire first purchase. You've got questions? They have answers. Stop in today.
Good morning. You are listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq. And once again, this is a brand new program, Battlefield Expressions. This is our second week. Last week was December 7th. We recognized our World War II veterans for the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese. And we're going to continue to talk a little bit more about that this morning as we move forward. But right now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is a program for our veterans community here in our Northern California area. And the whole idea behind Battlefield Expressions is for you, the family member, you, the veteran, you, the son or the daughter, or the individual, the spouse, to be able to call in and talk about your veterans' issues, questions that you might have, and things that are concerns on your mind, whether it be here in a local area with our local veteran service office or issues that are going on in our community, or if you're a veteran, you're looking for services and you're looking for an opportunity to find ways to get ahead and take care of whether it's PTSD or job issues or anything like that. We want to be a go-to opportunity for you to be able to call into this program and to be able to make that opportunity to help you be successful in our Northern California area. So as we move forward, we want to let you know that you'll be able to call in. Today we're not going to do call-ins. Today we're going to continue to talk about World War II. I think it's really important that once we spoke about Pearl Harbor this last weekend, that we don't just stop talking about World War II. We don't just stop talking about the Greatest Generation. We don't just leave it at that one particular day, that day of infamy. I think it's important for us to be able to reflect back as to why World War II started and to listen to some of the audio from Hitler and from Tojo and from Winston Churchill and from Franklin Delano Roosevelt about during that time frame. And it's such a critical time frame coming out of the 1920s into the 1930s from the Great Depression. And so this morning we're going to touch bases on that. We're going to give you some more information. And so as you listen this morning, I want you to grab yourself a cup of coffee. I want you to sit back and listen. You're going to be listening to original soundtrack from Hitler and Tojo and Winston Churchill. And you're going to be listening. I want you to put yourself in 1939. I want you to think about where the nation was at that time, just coming out of the Great Depression, the fears and the anxieties that were there from listening to Hitler talk on the radio and the Nazis going through Europe and taking over, the attack from Pearl Harbor from the Japanese, and where the nation was at that time frame. You know, you can watch it on TV, you can read about it, but as you're sitting there and you're listening to the voices of those original individuals, the dictators, the fascists, the imperialists who spoke, and the tone of their voice, you know, whether it be hatred or whether it be commanding dictatorship, it will bring a different sense of understanding to you as to why the nation was brought together and why it was such a critical time frame. And we'll listen to Winston Churchill also speak his famous speech about after the Battle of Dunkirk and why it was so important for England to step forward and continue to press forward, even though they faced such great odds against the Nazi dictatorship of Adolf Hitler and his regime. and all those different things that took place during that time frame. This portion of the program is sponsored by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center by a gracious grant to be able to help promote our history and our veterans from all different eras, including those that are serving today around our nation, our young men, our women, our fathers, our mothers, our husbands, and wives that are out there serving our nation. And so part of that is also through Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and that is another program to help take care of our post-9/11 veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and the global war of terror. And so even though we don't see it in our streets and we don't see that all of these different issues going on around us, these men and women are keeping the enemy at arm's length. They're keeping the issues on the other side of the world. They're keeping them away from us so that we can continue to understand and to enjoy the freedom and the liberty that we have right here in our own nation, in our own community. I drove in from Cottonwood this morning at about 7:30, and I'll tell you what, the valley was just absolutely, sun was coming up, the sky was blue, there was fog in certain areas, the trees are still turning color and the leaves are still falling. The mountains are covered with snow, and the sky was a brilliant blue. And it was just like, what a blessing it is that we live here in our Northern California area. I've served all over the world with the United States Navy, and I call Cottonwood, California, my home. I call Northern California my home, a place to live where I've raised my family, my sons. And I don't think that there really is another more beautiful place with our climate and with the place that we live here in Northern California. What a great opportunity, and we truly are blessed to live here in Northern California. I want to remind you that today is Wreaths Across America. It's the National Day of Observing Wreaths Across America, where wreaths, Christmas wreaths are placed on the headstones of military personnel who have passed away all across our entire nation. And that includes our area here at the Igo Veterans Cemetery at 12 o'clock this afternoon. The ceremony will begin for Wreaths Across America at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. We have over 5,000 interned veterans and their family members there at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And what a great opportunity. The day is clear. The sky will be brilliant and snow on the mountains. We call the Igo Veterans Cemetery Arlington West. It is such a beautiful location, such a beautiful place to be out there. Once you're out there and you participate and all of those wreaths are placed across the headstones, it's just an absolutely gorgeous sight. It's just unbelievable how beautiful it is that we can honor our veterans and our veterans' families during this time frame with a wreath. And even if you are not a veteran, even if you do not have someone in your family that is a veteran, I'd like to encourage you to go out there to the Igo Veterans Cemetery and to be able to place a wreath in honor of a veteran who has passed away on one of those headstones. It takes a lot of volunteers to place over 4,000 wreaths across all of those headstones. And what a great opportunity it is to be able to be out there and to participate in something like that that is so great. It's above what we as individuals do, because you're participating in something that's greater than you and I. It's something that's honoring all of those who have served our nation and who are laid to rest in such a wonderful place. When I returned from Iraq from 2008 to 2013, I was the Northern California United States Navy Honor Guard team leader, and during that time frame, I performed over 2,000 Naval Marine Corps Merchant Marine Coast Guard services in honor of our veterans, and placed over 2,000 flags in the laps in the hands of loved ones who were there to honor their veterans as they were laid to rest. What a great honor, what a great responsibility to be a part of that. It was a continuation of my mission coming back from Iraq, serving my nation, and part of my PTSD therapy. It forced me to face these individuals who were going through death and through issue with their families and the different stresses. But it helped me to overcome many of the issues that I was having after coming back from Iraq and from dealing with all the different issues that I dealt with there, doing combat, facing the enemy face-to-face on a daily basis, on a nightly basis, but then coming home and then being out there. During that time frame, we were performing upwards of 6 funerals per day for our World War II veterans that were passing during that time frame, the loss of our greatest generation. And so that's why I think it's important as we move forward throughout this month to continue to remember World War II, to remember our greatest generation, and for us to look back and listen to why it was so important for our men and women to serve this country during one of the greatest times in the world history, when we were just about ready to lose everything to dictators and imperialist leaders and things like that. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Working from home as a freelancer, remote worker, or entrepreneur? Drop-In is a professional co-working shared office space designed to meet the needs of today's mobile worker. Drop-In has multiple workstations, conference rooms, video call booths, and lightning-fast, secure fiber Wi-Fi. Do you need space to work for just an hour or full-time? Hourly, daily, and monthly rates are available, and walk-ins are always welcome. Visit dropin.mobi for more information or drop in and take a tour at 155 Lake Boulevard East next to Starbucks. Isn't it time you found your space?
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomasine's A Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. What a great song by Glenn Miller, String of Pearls, another World War II great. And this morning we'll be talking about some World War II items as we move forward to the program. Once again, I just want to let you know that one of our great sponsors is Foster's Brush Hog Service. They're locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks after storm cleanup, removal of waste, left from transients, and all that extra stuff. I'll tell you what, right now with the storm and that little bit extra snow, I know there's extra branches down and trees that are coming down. As we get ready to go into the rest of our winter time, there's going to be stuff that you're going to need to have removed in an emergency. And Keith Foster at Foster's Brush Hog Service, he's the guy to call. His number is 440-9531. 440-9531. Foster's Brush Hog Service. Keith Foster, his father is a Korean War veteran, United States Navy. And thank you to him for his service to our nation. And these programs are sponsored by Foster's because of his father's service to our nation. Thank you again, Keith. Once again, that phone number, if you're looking for it, 440-9531. Foster's Brush Hog Service. So this morning we're going to talk about World War II. We're going to talk about the lead up. Last week we talked about December 7th, 1941, the day of infamy. But we need to talk about what took place before that, and when the United States went to war and declared war on Imperial Japan and then also on Nazi Germany with Adolf Hitler. The old world order, which had lasted since 1815, may have disappeared in the aftermath of World War I, but the treaty signed at Versailles and elsewhere failed to reflect a shift in the balance of power. and the emergence of Germany, the Soviet Union, Japan, and to some extent Italy as great powers, each felt cheated by its peace settlement and looked for opportunities to claim its rightful due. In Germany, the political situation was dire. Although the dramatic but chaotic Weimar Republic attempted to steer a middle course during the troubled times, the very existence of the democratic Germany would be thrown into a doubt by a series of economic disasters. In 1923, the French occupied the German industrial area of the Ruhr River over a reparations dispute. During the occupation, the rate of inflation in Germany spiraled out of control. Before World War I, the exchange rate was 4.2 German marks to 1 U.S. dollar. At the height of the inflation, it took 4.2 trillion marks to equal a dollar. The economic crisis simply wiped out Germany's middle class and drove ever greater numbers of Germans into the ranks of the radical political parties. A rather small but energetic group known as the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the NSDAP, commonly became known as the Nazi Party, worked tirelessly to gain support during the difficult times under its charismatic leader, Adolf Hitler. Through a combination of oratory and pageantry, Hitler brought a powerful message to the German people. The Nazis promised to make Germany great again through the destruction of the Treaty of Versailles and the reconstruction of the German economy. The Nazis also told Germans exactly whom to blame for their current misfortunes, the communists and the Jews. As the Weimar Republic slowly put its economic house in order, disaster struck again in 1929 with the onset of the Great Depression. Once again, the resurgent German middle class was destroyed, an upsurge of support for the Nazi Party, transforming them into the largest political party in Germany. After a sea of riots and political street fighting on the 30th of January 1933, Adolf Hitler took over the position of Chancellor of Germany, and the Nazi era had begun. The economic and political chaos in Europe in the wake of the Great Depression led to a series of major foreign policy developments that would set the sides for the coming conflict. In Germany, Hitler quickly acted on his ambition to scrap the Treaty of Versailles by announcing the expansion of the German military. At the same time, Hitler, something of an international pariah, announced his first major international agreement, a non-aggression pact with Poland. Ever ambitious, Hitler next began to look towards Anschluss, or union, with Austria. So during that time frame, Hitler went ahead and he set himself up as a friend to certain nations. He set himself up as a neutral party to other nations. And he went ahead and he tested Great Britain and France as he went ahead and occupied Austria and then pulled back out 24 hours later to test the waters to see if Britain or France were going to do anything about it. And Britain and France, they didn't do anything about it. And that let him know that they didn't have the backbone at that time. They didn't have the power to step up and to enforce Hitler's regime or to go against the Reich to make sure that Hitler couldn't move forward. Once he had done that, then he knew that he had the opportunity to move forward without having to worry about Great Britain or France getting into the way. Despite the fact that nations of the world, most notably the United States, struggled to salvage the post-war economic situation in Europe, the damage done by World War I was seemingly too great. Weakened further by the German hyperinflation of 1923, the world's economy had never truly recovered from the privations imposed by the Great War. In October 1929, the crash of the American stock market began a cascade of events that caused the Great Depression. Unemployment, poverty, hunger swept across the world. In Europe, the economic collapse caused the surge in support for these radical parties such as the Nazis, both extremes of the political spectrum, including both the fascists and the communists and the imperialists. In the resulting turmoil, Germany and Spain joined Italy in the fascist camp. In Eastern Europe, regimes from Estonia in the north to Greece in the south walked a tightrope of repression. Situated as they were between the communist Soviet Union to the west and Nazi Germany to the east, only Czechoslovakia persevered a liberal democracy, joining France, Britain, and the lower countries, and Scandinavia. Dictatorships and repressive governments were aggressive agendas now. outnumbered democracies in Europe, setting the stage for war to break out in the region once more. Hitler held many conferences, and when he called the people together at the Nuremberg assembly area, he had not just hundreds of thousands, he had over 700,000 troops and citizens gather at Nuremberg for his speeches to the public. And when he went ahead and he spoke to them, he spoke with passion, he spoke with fervor. He was giving them a propaganda that no one in the world had ever heard before. And these people had come out, the German citizens had come through such a great depression, such a great time of where they had been forced to submit to the other nations and to the other countries, that they were not given the opportunity to look any other place than to look to this motivational leader, Adolf Hitler. And so we're going to come into the first portion here of Adolf Hitler at Nuremberg.
The marching, seething squash of Adolf Hitler's Nazi Congress comes to an end. This year, they say there are 800,000 pairs of boots standing heel to heel, waiting for the Führer's final speech. And the high spot comes when, after a detailed review of Nazi achievements, Hitler cries, "My life's fight has not been in vain."
Indem ich euch hier blicke, weiß ich, mein Lebenskampf ist nicht umsonst gekämpft. Denn Sowjetzeichen soll er vor sich hertragen, und wir werden in unserem Zeichen wieder siegen.
Meine Arbeitsmänner, wenn ich euch so sehe, dann wird es mir schwer zu sprechen. Uns allen geht das Herz über vor Freude über euch. Ihr wisst gar nicht, wie das deutsche Volk euch lieb gewonnen hat. Einen Ausschnitt ergibt uns, dass uns die Herzen so übervoll werden lässt. Das ist die Fanfare eines neuen Deutschlands, das sie hier ankündigt. Der Spaten ist ein Symbol einer neuen Gemeinschaft geworden.
What you've been listening to this morning is the speech of Adolf Hitler at the Nuremberg assembly area, where you're speaking over to 8,000 troops and over 700,000 individuals, citizens that were gathered to listen to him as he was speaking. During that time frame, you could hear the passion in his voice about blaming everybody else across the European era, the nations, blaming the United States, and all those through the Versailles Treaty about taking away from Hitler, taking away from Germany, and taking away from the country of Germany during that time frame. He went ahead and utilized their bad time frame, their depression area, to use that against Britain and France and all of the other nations that were in Europe during that time frame. And that's also when he went ahead and he blamed the communists and he blamed the Jews. And he gained the support that he needed to gain also through his book, Mein Kampf. And that Mein Kampf was the book that was read by over 200,000 citizens. There's over 200,000 books that were sold within the first month when he wrote that book. And that was the brainwashing. That was the Nazi Party mindset of one world leadership with a dictator, one race leadership, one race, the Aryan nation, and all others were a failure to be a part of what they were doing. And so as we move forward, we're going to come up here on another break. But as we move forward, we're going to come back into World War II again. We're going to talk about the Blitzkrieg, which is the lightning war against Poland and why he went into Poland.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, prophets and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, and I am revisiting World War II. We talked this morning about Nazi Germany. We've talked about Adolf Hitler. We just listened to Adolf Hitler speaking at the Nuremberg Conference, speaking to over 700,000 people. You can just imagine the logistics to get citizens and military personnel. 700,000 people. The only thing that they had were either radio or you showed up in person. And these individuals were there. They were listening. After 1939, Hitler didn't want any other location than Nuremberg for everybody to be located at, and he wanted that place filled to the T. He wanted every individual there that could possibly be there. And they made sure that all citizens were there that could be there, and including the military personnel. In September of 1939, Adolf Hitler stood poised on the threshold of war with the newly recreated nation of Poland after World War I as his intended victim, having already bought off Soviet Union with promises and treaties of partition of Poland. Hitler was certain that the French and British guarantee of the Polish borders was merely a bluff. Poland was the stage for an exhibition to the world of the German might and military. On September 1st of 1939, the German Blitzkrieg thundered into Poland. Blitzkrieg is lightning war. The 24th Panzer Corps, led by Heinz Guderian, served as the mailed fist of Army Group North, slicing across Polish corridor in only 2 days. Army Group South flanked Polish resistance from the remains of Czechoslovakia. The 9th Panzer Corps reached the outskirts of Warsaw on 8 September, encircling several Polish pockets of resistance. Still, the panzers rolled on. Guderian, attacking southwards from the east Prussia on 9 September, later to meet with panzers under the command of Kleist, attacking from the south. The pincers closed at Brest-Litovsk as Soviet forces moved in from the east. So, because during the reparations of World War I, and so much of Germany was taken and given to Poland, including Danzig, where was a major port, Hitler and the Germans were so upset about that, that the first place that they located, the first place they went into was Poland, and they took back what they felt was theirs. After quickly overrunning Denmark on 9 April 1940, six separate German naval groups made a daring dash to seize all of the major ports of Norway. Though the Germans lost three cruisers and the British home fleet was slow to react from its home port of Scapa Flow in the Shetland Islands, the German landings, augmented by daring airborne assaults near Stavanger and Oslo, met with great success. Only at Narvik in the north, the British sea power severely disrupt German planning by destroying 10 German destroyers, taking control of the area's waters. Britain struck back by landing some 12,000 men at Namsos and Andalusness in an effort to recapture the Trondheim. Fearing for their isolated garrison, German forces advanced from Oslo. Utilizing air superiority, the Germans defeated the Allied force. The evacuation of Allied forces at both Namsos and Andalusness. At Narvik, a tiny German force of only some 4,000 men under the command of General Edward Diesel were besieged by nearly 25,000 Allied troops. In desperate straits, the German force fought its way out of Narvik and sought refuge on the Swedish border. By June, though, due to impending disaster in France, Allied units left Narvik, allowing the Germans to move in and occupy the port unchallenged. As we move forward through this, you're going to see as the Germans move through this area, and they were pushed out initially by the Allies. They came back, and they reinforced the entire area. And they pushed the Allies at that time, which were France and Britain and Norwegians and Swedens. They pushed them all the way back to the Dunkirk area. They pushed them back to the shorelines where they were stuck. They were pressed against the sea. And if not for the British civilian forces being able to come out under the leadership of Winston Churchill under an operation called Operation Dynamo, all of those men would have lost their lives. Given a respite by Guderian's halt on the Channel coast, the British launched Operation Dynamo, a seaborne rescue operation of the Allied forces in Belgium and northern France. The vast British armada set sail from the south coast, England, mainly from Dover area. The larger ships were unable to navigate the complicated shallow shoals surrounding Dunkirk, leaving the actual evacuation from the beaches to a motley assortment of civilian pleasure craft and lifeboat crews by civilian volunteers. The civilian vessels entered Dunkirk Road to pluck soldiers from the water under a hail of attack from the Luftwaffe. Miraculously, Operation Dynamo succeeded in rescuing some 338,000 Allied troops from the shoreline before the end of the operation for June 1940. If you ask me, it was a miracle. We're going to go ahead and go to break, and when we come back, we're going to listen to Winston Churchill on one of his famous speeches.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples? Your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expression. This is Senior Chief Ron Burroughs, and we are talking about World War II this morning. We talked about the inception of the Nazi takeover of Europe in 1939 with the Blitzkrieg across Poland. We've just talked about the Nazi push all the way to the sea, pushing the British and the French allies and the Belgium allies to the coastline where they were rescued during Operation Dynamo from Great Britain. Following the Allied defeat in Belgium, the Wehrmacht rushed southwards against minimal resistance, seizing Paris without a struggle on June 14th. In the east, the Germans struck the Maginot Line. The French forces were fought hard. only surrendering nearly a week after the fall of their country. On June 16th, the French government surrendered. The Germans occupied northern and western France, leaving southern France under the control of a pliant French government Vichy. So the Germans went in there, the Nazis went in, and they took over the north part of France, but they didn't want to blow up and destroy Paris. And so they made an agreement with the French government, the puppet government, the Vichy, and they went in, and they occupied France, the Paris and the area during that in that area without destroying all of France in that time frame. And it was there was a song that was played during that time frame, and it was called "I'll Be Seeing You" in all the familiar places, and it refers to Paris after the Germans had took it over because no one knew what the future held, and no one knew if they would ever be in there again. Right now we're going to listen to Winston Churchill as he gives his famous speech after the fall of Dunkirk, where Great Britain, England, is not going to give up, and they're going to continue to move forward.
When a week ago today, Mr. Speaker, I asked the House to fix this afternoon as the occasion for a statement, I feared it would be my hard lot to announce the greatest military disaster in our long history. I thought, and some good judges agreed with me, that perhaps 20 or 30,000 men might be re-embarked. But it certainly seemed that the whole of the French First Army and the whole of the British Expeditionary Force north of the Amiens-Abbeville Gap would be broken up in the open field, or else would have to capitulate for lack of food and ammunition. These were the hard and heavy tidings for which I called upon the House and the nation to prepare themselves a week ago. The whole root and core and brain of the British Army, on which and around which we were to build and are to build, the great British armies in the later years of the war seemed about to perish upon the field or be led into an ignominious and starving captivity. The enemy attacked us on all sides with great strength and fierceness, and their main power, the power of their far more numerous air force, was thrown into the battle or else concentrated upon Dunkirk and the beaches. Pressing in upon the narrow exit, both from the east and from the west, the enemy began to fire with cannon upon the beaches by which alone the shipping could approach or depart. They sowed magnetic mines in the channels and seas. They sent repeated waves of hostile aircraft, sometimes more than 100 strong in one formation, to cast our bombs upon the single pier that remained and upon the sand dunes on which the troops had their only shelter. Their U-boats, one of which was sunk, and their motor launches took the toll of the vast traffic which now began. For 4 or 5 days, an intense struggle reigned. All their armored divisions, or what was left of them, together with great masses of infantry and artillery, hurled themselves in vain upon the ever-narrowing, ever-contracting appendix within which the British and French armies fought. Meanwhile, the Royal Navy, with the willing help of countless merchant seamen, strained every nerve to embark the British and Allied troops. 220 light warships and 650 other vessels were engaged. They had to operate upon the difficult coast, and often in adverse weather, under an almost ceaseless hail of bombs and an increasing concentration of artillery fire. Nor were the seas, as I have said, themselves free from mines and torpedoes. It was in conditions such as these that our men carried on with little or no rest for days and nights on end, making trip after trip across the dangerous waters, bringing with them always men whom they had rescued. The numbers they have brought back are the measure of their devotion and their courage. The hospital ships which brought off many thousands of British and French wounded, being so plainly marked, were a special target for Nazi bombs, but the men and women on board them never faltered in their duty. Meanwhile, the Royal Air Force, which had already been intervening in the battle, so far as its range would allow, from our home bases, now used part of its main metropolitan fighter strength and struck at the German bombers and at the fighters, which in large numbers protected them. This struggle was protracted and fierce. Suddenly, the scene had cleared. The crash and thunder had, for the moment, but only for the moment, died away. A miracle of deliverance achieved by valor, by perseverance, by perfect discipline, by faultless service, by resource, by skill, by unconquerable fidelity, is manifest to us all. The enemy was hurled back by the retreating British troops. He was so roughly handled that he did not harry their departure seriously. Sir, we must be very careful not to assign to this deliverance the attributes of a victory. Wars are not won by evacuations. But there was a victory inside this deliverance, which should be noted. It was gained by the Air Force. Many of our soldiers coming back have not seen the Air Force at work. They saw only the bombers, which escaped its protective attack. They underrate its achievements. I've heard much talk of this, and that is why I go out of my way to say this. I will tell you about it. This was a great trial of strength between the British and German air forces. Can you conceive a greater objective for the Germans in the air than to make evacuation from these beaches impossible, and to sink all these ships which were displayed almost to the extent of thousands? Could there have been an objective of greater military importance and significance for the whole purpose of the war than this? They tried hard, and they were beaten back. They were frustrated in their task. We got the army away, and they have paid fourfold for any losses which they have inflicted. Sir, when we consider how much greater would be our advantage in defending the air above this island against an overseas attack, I must say that I find in these facts a sure basis upon which practical and reassuring thoughts may rest. I will pay my tribute to these young airmen. The great French army was very largely, for the time being, cast back and disturbed by the onrush of a few thousands of armored vehicles. May it not also be that the cause of civilization itself will be defended by the skill and devotion of a few thousand airmen? There never has been, I suppose, in all the world, in all the history of war, such an opportunity for youth. The Knights of the Round Table, the Crusaders, all fall back into the past. Not only distant, but prosaic. These young men going forth every morn to guard their native land and all that we stand for, holding in their hands these instruments of colossal and shattering power, of whom it may be said that every morn brought forth a noble chance, and every chance brought forth a noble knight, deserve our gratitude, and to all the brave men, in so many ways and on so many occasions, are ready and continue ready to give life and all for their native land. Nevertheless, our thankfulness at the escape of our army And so many men whose loved ones have passed through an agonizing week must not blind us to the fact that what happened in France and Belgium is a colossal military disaster. The French army has been weakened. The Belgian army has been lost. A large part of those fortified lines upon which so much faith had been reposed is gone. Many valuable mining districts and factories have passed into the enemy's possession. The whole of the Channel ports are in his hands, with all the tragic consequences that follow from that. And we must expect another blow to be struck almost immediately at us or at France. We are told, sir, that Herr Hitler has a plan for invading the British Isles. This has often been thought of before. When Napoleon lay at Boulogne for a year with his flat-bottomed boats and his grand army, he was told by someone, there are bitter weeds in England. There are certainly a great many more of them since the British Expeditionary Force returned. Sir, I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once more able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, and to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary for years, if necessary alone. At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows. We've been listening to Winston Churchill talk about the disasters that took place at Dunkirk, where the evacuation of 338,000 Allied troops were pulled off the beaches at Dunkirk and were saved by the civilians of Britain and England in that area during that time frame. And then for Winston Churchill to step up when it would be real easy for a leader to just say, well, we've had some major setbacks and we're just going to deal with it, or maybe we're just going to fall back and we'll wait for the United States to show up or do whatever. He did not do that as a leader. He stepped up and he said, yes, we've had some setbacks. Yes, that we have taken a hard toll from Adolf Hitler and the Nazis as they pushed us off the European shorelines. But we're not going to give up. One of the famous, most famous sayings is that he never, never, ever give up. And that was the motto of Winston Churchill. And so as we listen to his speech and we listen to him talk to Great Britain and to the men who were brought back, he didn't give them the opportunity to put their head down. He didn't give them the opportunity to say we failed. What he did was he said we've had a setback. And now we're going to put our feet to the fire. We're going to lean forward, and we're going to press on, and we're going to make sure that as we move forward, we are going to fight on the seas and in the fields and in the air as we move forward. We are not going to let this dictator, Adolf Hitler, move forward and take over England or to take over any other portion of what we called our homeland. And so as we move forward, we'll be talking about some other World War II items as we come into the next hour. Thank you for being with us. We are KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. North Korea says it's performed another successful test at its long-range rocket launch site. More on that from correspondent Ben Thomas.
North Korea's Academy of Defense Science says what it describes as a crucial test was the second carried out at the Soe satellite launching ground in a week. Separately, the chief of the Army's general staff states North Korea has built up tremendous power, and the findings will be used to develop new weapons to allow the country to definitely and reliably counter U.S. nuclear threats. Analysts see the statements as an indication the tests likely involve technologies to improve intercontinental ballistic missiles that could potentially reach the U.S. North Korea has been trying to pressure the Trump administration for major concessions as Kim Jong-un's end-of-year deadline for nuclear negotiations approaches. Ben Thomas, Washington.
President Trump is pleased that Democrats finally agreed to put the trade deal with Canada and Mexico up for a vote in Congress.
We just made our big deal, as you know, with Mexico, Canada. We have a tremendous trade deal that's going through the House now. It's going to be obviously approved, and it's tremendous for our country.
For months, the president accused Democrats of being preoccupied with impeachment and acting too slowly on the North American Trade Pact. In fact, the delays will prevent it from actually being finalized until next year. The Supreme Court has agreed to take up cases involving a dispute over the president's financial records. More details from Greg Klux.
Facing subpoenas from both Congress and the Manhattan District Attorney, the president is trying to keep his tax, bank, and financial records private. At issue is the president's power to refuse subpoenas.
That is White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. Another winning session on Wall Street to end the week, driving the Dow up by just 3 points at 28,135. The NASDAQ was up 17. More of these stories at townhall.com.
We have reached the age where things just cost more.
Cars, mm-hmm, phones, mm-hmm, life insurance.
Your blood pressure is up.
Your weight is up.
You're one to talk.
I have type 2 diabetes, so I'm getting dinged just like you.
Thank goodness for Big Lou.
Big Lou!
Big Lou can get term life insurance rates for a 50-year-old male with type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, or maybe he's on anxiety meds,
mm-hmm,
for just around $200 a month for $1 million of coverage.
Oh, you got to say that again.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it. Big Lou and term provider could get a 50-year-old man, a little dinged up, $1 million in life insurance for around $200 a month.
Call Big Lou.
Big Lou!
He's like you. 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085.
Don't put it off. If you're overweight, diabetic, have high blood pressure, you gotta call Big Lou.
Gotta. 800-555-2085.
Write it down.
800-555-2085.
The Democratic presidential debate scheduled for next week is now in jeopardy of not taking place at all. Mike Gracia explains why.
The Democratic National Committee says it's trying to come up with an acceptable resolution that would allow the presidential candidates debate scheduled next Thursday in Los Angeles to proceed. All seven of the candidates scheduled to take part are threatening to boycott the event at Loyola Marymount University if an ongoing labor dispute forces them to cross picket lines. Unite Here, Local 11, says it's been negotiating with a service company since March on a collective bargaining agreement for 150 workers on the university's campus.
Although the risk is very small, doctors say a new generation of women entering menopause now may not be aware of landmark findings from 2002 that tied higher breast cancer rates to hormone pills. Women who use certain types of hormones after menopause may still have an increased risk of developing breast cancer nearly 2 decades after they stopped taking those pills. Breaking news at townhall.com. U.S. authorities have downgraded Venezuela's aviation rating. They say the crisis-torn nation simply is not able to meet basic international safety standards.
The Federal Aviation Administration said it recently performed an extensive review of Venezuela's Civil Aviation Authority, leading to the status change. According to the FAA, the Venezuelan regime does not comply with international standards. This means Venezuela's aviation authorities either lack regulations needed to oversee their carriers at a minimum standard, or they don't have adequate expertise, training, or inspection procedures among safety concerns.
That is Keith Peters reporting. Boeing, meanwhile, reporting another month of weak orders and deliveries for its airliners. Its 737 MAX has been grounded for almost 9 months after two deadly crashes. The company did get a boost from two orders for the MAX in November, an improvement from earlier this year when several months passed without a single MAX order. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows. I'm the director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and our offices are in Anderson at 2110 North Street. And this segment is brought to you by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center through a gracious grant donated to the museum for us to be able to advertise and let you know about the things that we do for our community. Northern California Veterans Museum, veterans create history, help us preserve it. That's the motto of the Northern California Veterans Museum, and we're constantly looking for your items to be able to donate it so that we can preserve them, archive them, and have them in our facility as we move forward with our larger museum building there in Shasta County on Cottonwood Hill, south of Walmart on Ronda Road. And what a great opportunity it is. Every day I have individuals that come into our facility and say, look, we have these items. My grandfather, my mother, father, my grandmother passed away, and I have these items. The kids don't want them, and nobody seems to know what to do with them. Will you take them? And, yes, the Northern California Veterans Museum offices, our archive, will take those items. We receive wonderful, beautiful, historical pieces every day. And those items are preserved, they're cleaned, they're stored, and they're put away so that as we move forward with the larger facility, those items will be on display and help to tell the history of what we're talking about today. Today we've been talking about Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. We just listened to Winston Churchill speak about the evacuation of Dunkirk on the beaches when the Nazis pushed them right up to the coastline. And now as we move forward, we're going to listen to another song. This song is a song that was written right during the war, especially when France was taken over and occupied by the Nazis. And it talks about being able to go back and to visit France, to visit Paris. But no one knew at that time after the Nazis had occupied France and Paris whether or not there would be, if there ever would be, another Paris.
In all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. Chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. In everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.
And what a wonderful song that was. It was such a cheerful song at the time during World War II. It was not only just about France, but it was about sending off the American troops, the young men, sometimes boys, sometimes men, that went off to serve in all the branches of the service, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, the Merchant Marines, the Army Air Corps. And those men and boys went across the world, and they became men if they were boys as they served across, whether it was the South Pacific or whether it was the European theater, serving their nation during that time frame because of Adolf Hitler and because of Mussolini and because of Hirohito, the imperial chancellor, or not chancellor, but emperor of Japan. And so we've talked about Europe. We've talked about Hitler and the rise and how they went across Europe and took over Poland and France and Belgium. But at this time, we're going to listen to Hirohito and listen to what he's saying along with the conference with the other fascist leaders prior to Pearl Harbor.
国民諸君大戦争の真っ只中にあるにもかかわりません。そこに本日中華民国大国満州国フィリピン国ビューマ国
大東亜決衆国民大会を開催されるに至りましたことは、実に昭和の御世におきまする一大正義であります。諸君と共に誠に敬粛に堪えんところであります。次いで国民大会の名において大東亜戦争完遂の決議を行う。
全東亜はいよいよ
この共同の使命に徹し、一生同の信念の元、その協力を凝集して、あくまでも大東亜戦争を完遂し、再び大東亜において、米英の総領バックを許さず、もって世界新秩序の建設に協力せんことを期し、いい決意。
いよいよ大東亜各国代表の挨拶にいる。
今年凌晨钢铁一般的演歌，东亚也只有了钢铁一般的完璧产生。我对于先进
国代表の熱弁に率いる中国留学生。
祝大东亚战争的胜利，大东亚工业建设的成功。
哎，咱可阿拉什么昆仑西拉什么塞，中国人民党还敢插双枪的去打个法日本，是说才什么成绩出？และให้จักรวรรดิญี่ปุ่นมีความเจริญยิ่งยิ่งขึ้นสืบไปเถิด
ดังสันยี่ดัง会以义政会共同主开国民大会之际，对亲邦日本国民各位各数一言，致人呢衷心心快。
That the Philippines no longer will return to that period of political and economic slavery, but will join with the other peoples of Greater East Asia in the hope that all the peoples of Greater East Asia will enjoy the common prosperity, the common blessings of life, the common traditions, and the common heritage of Asia.Which has always been the cradle of human civilization. I thank you.
I stand here before you as a soldier from the Western front line of the present East Asiatic War. I am speaking to you today like a soldier.Giving you a message, a soldier's message from the Western front line in Asia.
Sisters and brothers of Nippon, allow me first of all to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the exceedingly warm and cordial welcome you have given us.This morning.
また英邦ドイツ代表もこれに加わり、同義一つに結ばれた参会者の戦意はいよいよ上がったのであります。
オイルエクスレーションマイネヘルン Die feierliche Kundgebung des heutigen Tages hat einen tiefen symbolischen Sinn. Sie vereinigtführende Staatsmänner des japanischen Kaiserreiches und der anderen Staaten des
Großen Vaterlandes
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're discussing and listening to the Japanese right now, the Emperor Hirohito, and his message to the Japanese people, along with the German Chancellor that was there at that time, the Nazi Chancellor, and inciting the crowd against the United States and against Europe and Great Britain as we fought and our men and women served around the world against those atrocities at that time frame. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We'll be right back.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $11.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop off your car or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Home of the friendly oil change.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Rob Burrows. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. We've been doing a history lesson this morning. We've been talking about Nazi Germany and everything that took place prior to Pearl Harbor and how Germany was able to step in and take over Europe and push the British out and at Dunkirk, and then continued to move forward into France. And we just talked about how they took over France, and then now we're going to step back. It's real easy to talk about Pearl Harbor, December 7th, but how important is it for us to go back and learn how did we get to December 7th? How did we get to that point where the Japanese attacked the United States? And how come the United States wasn't already involved in the war against Germany during that time frame? Because the United States was being an isolationist at that time. We were supporting through the Lend-Lease program arms and tanks and uniforms and food and equipment to Great Britain through the Lend-Lease program. But we had not put American personnel on the soil in Europe or in Great Britain to fight against Germany at that point. So then we just listened to Hirohito, the Emperor of Japan, as they talked with the Germans about supporting the cause to move across the Asian peninsulas and the islands throughout the South Pacific, and how important it was for them to gain and conquer island after island and location after location to be able to get their natural resources.
One of the reasons that the Japanese needed to attack Pearl Harbor in the United States was because we had put sanctions against them. They didn't have that extra oil or the steel or anything like that. And it was said that our vehicles, the steel that came from our vehicles during the 1930s, our scrap iron that went to Japan, were used as bombs against our military personnel. They used that scrap iron and throughout those years to build bombs and tanks and rifles and bullets, and those were used against our American forces and the Australians and the Germans and the New Zealanders, the Kiwis, who stepped up and who fought with the Allies throughout the South Pacific. And so that's one of the reasons that the Japanese attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us.
There you heard Franklin Delano Roosevelt, president during that time frame, December 7th, 1941, as he read the declaration as we went to war with Japan and against Italy and against Germany during the World War II onslaught, the takeover of the Nazis and the fascists from Mussolini and the imperialists from the Japanese. And so as our men and women joined this military and stepped up now that the United States was at war, men and women from all different places, all different lives, and all different ages, they stepped up to the plate to serve their country. They had just come out of the Great Depression. They had just come out of an era where they had nothing. And the opportunity to be able to go around the world to serve their nation, to go to other countries, to do something that was greater than themselves, was greater than they could bear. And so they joined the armed forces and they stepped up to the plate. Once again, this is why we refer to this generation as the greatest generation, a time when nobody needed to step up but they did because it was the right thing to do. They did because their home soil was attacked. Most of these guys didn't even know where Hawaii was. They didn't even know where Honolulu was. They didn't know what Pearl Harbor was. But once they were told and they realized it was American soil and it was American forces that were bombed and they were killed, over 3,000 that lost their lives that day by the Japanese attack. The American populace, the men, the young men, stepped up to the plate. And when the men were gone, the women stepped up to the plate and they took over the jobs of the men. And they built the ships. And they ran the stores, and they did the fields, and they took care of all the things that happened at home while they were gone. As the American forces went ahead and went overseas, I have a story to read you. It says, great day in the morning, the Yanks are coming. When the first Americans landed in Northern Ireland in January of 1942, great cheers rang out throughout Great Britain. World War II invasion of the UK by 2 million American servicemen had begun. The bad guys had practiced their goose step for 5 long years, giving the whole world a super kick in the behind. As British citizens, I'd watched the autumn of 1940 as valiant Royal Air Force airmen fighter pilots won the Battle of Britain by the skin on their teeth. We suffered terrible casualties and bombings of our cities and huge Royal Navy losses. The HMS Hood had 3 survivors out of a crew of 1,400. Now we feared being cut off from the outside world if Hitler invaded. So when the GIs arrived, the American forces, it was as if they'd offered an outstretched hand to the drowning. We greeted them happily. The quiet little kids were especially pleased to see them hanging around the soldiers to ask for gum, chum. Any gum, chum? And then saying, ta, thank you. Thank you for that gum. The soldiers were very generous with everyone, sharing food and cigarettes, too, and chocolate bars. British servicemen rather resented those sweet-talking Yanks swiping their girls, though. Those freewheeling Americans felt we were fair game, and they were so cheeky. They loved dancing to Glenn Miller in the Mood, and they taught us the jitterbug, a dance our older citizens considered quite unruly. They also loved the sociable British pubs, but not the beer, which was served warm. The GIs were told not to wave their money around, but that didn't stop them from doing it. Those on leave in London liked the underground subway, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. They had their pictures taken with pigeons in Trafalgar Square, next to the boarded-up statue of Eros on Piccadilly Circus. The GIs had their own newspaper, Stars and Stripes. Ernie Pyle wrote about how the American pilots liked to listen to the RAF members talking to each other in the air over North Africa. I say, old chap, there's a Jerry on your tail, a warned pilot's reply. Quite so, quite so. Thanks very much, old man. In 1943, I was hired by the London American Red Cross headquarters as secretary accountant for the Aero Club in Middle Wallop. I was one of the four women living in the American Air Force base amid thousands of GIs. They talked with us and spent lots of time in the Aero Club, showing photos of their wives, girlfriends, families, and dogs. They were terribly homesick. They worried about heavy casualties in the Air Force. They told us what Ernie Pyle had written about the stalemate in Italy, where men had to be half-beast to survive. They worried about the Marines in the Pacific and fighting, and they wanted to go home.
Kiss me once again, it's been a long time.
Back in the 40s, relatively few Americans had set foot outside the United States. For that matter, few of us had ever been more than 100 miles away from this place where we were born. If you grew up in the heartland, chances were that you had never seen an ocean. The only foreign language taught in our schools was Latin. And then one day you found yourself aboard a troop ship or on an airplane headed somewhere, someplace. Wherever it was across an endless ocean. My journey across the Pacific took 34 days. One morning, standing on the rail, I remarked to a man standing next to me that the ocean sure was big. Yes, he said, and there's a lot more underneath it. In the middle of that, in the middle of all that water, he had no way to communicate with me, the rest of the world, and we weren't told where we were going. All we knew was that we were near the equator and headed west. And when we finally got there, we didn't know where we were. Natives in canoes came out to greet us. Where were we? Leyte, they said. The only problem was that no one in the ship quite knew for sure where Leyte was, except that it was part of the Philippine Islands. It was evening by the time the 1,200 men on board were taken to shore on barges. We were loaded onto trucks and hauled through the night. Oil lamps flickered in thick huts nestled underneath palm trees. Smallish brown people standing alongside dirt roads waved at us. The air was heavy in smells of rotting jungle vegetation. It sure was in Illinois. My experience was duplicated by hundreds and thousands of Americans. Some landed on the shores of North Africa. For others, it was England or Australia or the Aleutian Islands or China or India. Wherever it wasn't anything like home. Usually the language was strange. The food was strange. How many lira or pesos or pounds were there to the dollar? Things in stores, shops didn't have price tags. You had no idea. You had to learn the art of bartering. The locals drove on the wrong side of the road. The druggist was called a chemist. Cars had bonnets instead of hoods. Farmers plowed with water buffaloes instead of John Deere's. You could mortally insult someone without even realizing what you had said or done. On the other hand, you were one of the wonderful Americans who had come to set things right. You were more than welcome. You were a hero, even if you had never heard a shot fired in anger. Families adopted you. Young ladies were eager for your company. Everyone was anxious to get to know these things and strange men from across the water. Where we really were, were we really cowboys, or were we gangsters or movie stars? What an experience. That's not to say there wasn't mud and rain and cold and terror, and close friends who would never come home. That came home later. That was the war. But for those who did not come home, we remember. And for those who did come home, the experiences that went with being overseas left us with a lifetime of memories and a zest for seeing the rest of the world. No one on the planet would ever be the same, and they would never be a stranger again. And how important it is that the world did change during that time frame. Once our men and women went across the seas, once they broke the tradition of staying in the United States and never having the opportunity to go anywhere, life changed. And that was one of the reasons that when these men and women finally came home, the experience that they had, the broadened horizons, the broadened mindset, their eyes were open to a new future, a new opportunity. They had survived the greatest war, the World War II, the Great War against Europe and in the South Pacific. They survived during that time frame that was so strict. And those that didn't come home, they remembered. And if you've ever talked to a World War II veteran, if your father or mother or some family member was a World War II veteran, they didn't talk about their experiences. They didn't talk about where they were. My father was a gunner's mate on a Liberty ship in the South Pacific. And I begged him to talk to me and tell me different stories about where he was and what he did. And he just wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't go there. It was a tough time. It was a generation where people accepted what was the responsibility was and then moved forward from there. And so it was such a different time frame. And as we are losing all of these World War II veterans, we're losing this greatest generation here, and we're laying them to rest in honor. Once again, what a great opportunity it is for us to remember them, talk about them, and remember why there was a World War II and why we did what we did. We'll be right back.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
The McConnell Foundation wishes all active military, their families, and our local veterans who have served. Happy holidays. This is Shannon Phillips, Vice President of Operations for the McConnell Foundation. This time of year, Americans are serving our nation in places far from home, as they have every holiday season in our country's history. Let's remember as a community the sacrifices our men and women in uniform have made and will continue to make. The McConnell Foundation salutes our active duty and veterans by wishing you happy holidays.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did it. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon or tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Planning an amazing party? Sit back and relax. Mingle and have a few cocktails. Exclusive private VIP space. Plan your VIP event with us. Call Group Sales and reserve the lounge today. 530-339-7454. Choose from a variety of options, each offering a personal touch. Customized to suit your needs. Up to 40 guests. Starting at $250. Experience the lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows, retired Senior Chief, United States Navy Seabees. And what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to talk about our World War II generation this morning. This portion was brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, and after storm cleanup. Right now is a great time to give them a call. You got some sunshine out there, an opportunity to get a break before all those tree limbs and everything else fall down in there. If you want some great service from Keith Foster, he's located in Anderson, and his phone number is 440-9531, 440-9531, Foster's Brush Hog Service. His father is a Korean War veteran in the United States Navy, and that's one of the reasons he's helping to sponsor this program in honor of his father and all of our veterans. And once again, also brought to you by Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center and KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Carl Lindenbott, thank you so much for their support to this program. During World War II, USO clubs sprang up everywhere in the U.S., providing everything from snacks and Saturday night dances, complete with scores of smiling young ladies who danced and danced and then danced some more. Bless them all. And when you got overseas, there were USO clubs. And the young ladies who cheerfully danced far into the night and hardly ever winced when you stepped on their toes. I particularly remember catching one young comic's act on Lake Taegulf in Philippine Islands as a tropical moon filtered through the palms. We all agreed this guy, Bob Hope, had a great future.
From somewhere in the South Pacific, we present the Bob Hope Show. Before nearly 2,000 wounded veterans of the Saipan, Tinian, and Guam campaigns, to the Fleet Hospital on the edge of a coconut grove somewhere in the South Pacific, is Bob Hope and his USO troops. Ladies and gentlemen, these wounded men have been through many bitter campaigns. What they're going to face now is ridiculous. Here he is, Bob Hope! Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Mosquito Network Hope. Thanking you boys from Guam, Tinian, and Span for making the Japs take it on the lam. Yes, sir, isn't it wonderful what you can do on Span, huh? Well, here we are in this beautiful, romantic South Pacific island. Boy, aren't these islands pretty? Wait till I see that Dorothy L'Amour. What a lie. But I really hope you enjoy our show today. We have a nice show here with Francis Langford, Jerry Colonna, Tony Romano, Patty Thomas, and Barney Dean. I know you'll enjoy the girls. You remember, girls? Yes, sir. They're doing very fine. In some of these islands we visited, these girls have been the first to land. Won't Eleanor be mad, huh? Of course, she would have made those islands, but she stopped to say to the natives along the way. We've had a very fast-flying trip up to now. Flew all the way down here from San Francisco. Didn't scare me a bit. I read a novel coming down. Going back, I'm going to read the second page. Everybody had a lot of fun on the plane. I know because I looked inside and saw them. And when we got about... When we got about halfway down, the pilot turned around to me and said, "Are you a little nervous?" I said, "Yeah, this is only my third time up." He said, "You beat me. This is my first." I said, "It's a little rough out there. Don't you think we ought to have parachutes?" He said, "Don't be silly. The ones with parachutes jumped an hour ago." And talk about weather over that Pacific. It was so rough, the automatic pilot bailed out. I've never seen it. Finally, the crew chief tapped me on the shoulder and said, "In case of an accident, the pilot is the last one to leave the plane." I said, "Why tell me that?" He says, "I don't want to make you nervous, but there he is down there." I finished another road picture with Crosby and L'Amour. We're going to work on the alleys next. Ah, that L'Amour. 10 weeks with L'Amour and I got money, too. So think what that cost me in vitamin pills alone. Just think. And, of course, you all know Crosby, Sinatra's father. He's doing very, very well. Sinatra's doing okay, too. He's just been elected the wax pinup boy. Pin him up or he'll fall down. But right now, what's the need? Young fellow's been in our orchestra the past 3 years now, different travels. A guy from Fresno, California, composer and a grand guitar player, Tony Romano. Let's get it.
This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rules or telephone. You've had your breakfast in bed before. But you can't do that here anymore. This is a G.I. Jive, man alive. You wake up with a bugle roll and reveille over your bed when you arrive. Jack, that's the G.I. Jive. You'll be loaded back and digging at a G.I.
You having a good trip?
Oh, it's so exciting, and the boys have been so wonderful to me. You know that last island where we were?
I sure do.
One of the boys took me out on the target range.
Oh, he did, really?
Mm-hmm. He put his arm around me and showed me how to hold a rifle.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. He put his arm around me again and showed me how to aim it.
Oh, he did again? I see.
He kept his arm around me for a half an hour and showed me exactly how to fire it. Came along and put him in the guardhouse.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, we were going to try it again tomorrow with a rifle.
Boy, they have all kinds of rackets down here, don't they? Well, you know, Francis, these boys have a rugged time down here, but I still wish I was one of these fellas. I want to tell you that. I mean... That's for me.
You have to forget all about comfort.
That's for me.
And you have to forget all about women.
That's for them.
Yeah,
Once again, you've been listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we've been listening to Bob Hope in 1944. And during 1944 in the South Pacific, during that summer time frame, he bounced from island to island, entertaining and creating a great moral opportunity for a morale opportunity for our men that were serving during that time frame. 79 shows in 4 months from one location to the next with the USO group. And Bob Hope, what a great opportunity, what a great man who served our nation in honoring our veterans in the combat zones, helping to bring up that morale, helping to let them know that they were not there by themselves, helping them to know that they could go ahead and move forward when they were in the hospitals, when they were trying to survive with malaria and gunshot wounds and explosions and loss of life and limbs and the extreme battle fatigue and stress that they were under. And what a great American to be able to step up and be able to be that part to help make that happen. Can you imagine if no one was there, if no one was there to step out and to help lift the spirits of our American fighting men, if nobody was there to help say thank you, if nobody was there to help create that opportunity to keep them moralized, to keep them motivated and moving forward. And that's so important. That's why it's so important for us as Americans who live here at home. That's to continue to say thank you to our veterans who are serving, our young men and women who are serving around the world right now. And it's so important to say thank you to those who served, who were there in the mud, in the sweat, in the heat, in the turmoil, in the fear of battle, in the confusion of everything that took place. And what great opportunity it is for us to be able to have this program. Today we have revisited World War II. From the 1920s during the Great Depression all the way through 1944. And as we move forward in the next 2 weeks, we're going to continue to talk about World War II. We have other veterans and issues that we want to talk about. And we just don't want to do Pearl Harbor and then forget. We can never forget. And that's why this is so important. Once again, thank you for being here today. Battlefield Expressions, KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Rob Burrows, your host. Have a great week. Yeah.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.